section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Elimination Chamber Fallout, Ring of Honor's on Destination America, and is Stone Cold Wrestling one more time? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Take what you wanna take. Don't you leave me here. Last thing, leave you aside for your fear. I'm the one, one and only love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Austin may take on Lesnar at WrestleMania 32, or is this just them throwing smoke?
So Hogan does this all the time. He constantly says, oh, I have one more match in me, one more match, blah, blah, blah. And you know, he doesn't. He literally does not have one more match in them. He's too old. He's too fragile. He can't do that. Austin, on the other hand, while he had to fuse a couple of vertebrae together, you know, he has the potential to wrestle another match. He's not in as bad of shape as someone like Hogan is. You know, he's in his 50s, and we never got a chance to see Austin Lesnar, which would be a huge moneymaker. And Austin Lesnar at WrestleMania would be a very big moneymaker. So he cut a pretty cool promo on Monday night, and I think that there is a possibility, but more than likely, it's probably just them having fun.
Well, he said that he'd only do it if they did one type of match, and that's the Texas?
Texas Death Match.
Now, what is the Texas Death Match, Aaron?
Texas Death Match is when, depending on the traditional definition, you have to pin somebody, and then after you pin somebody, they count to 10, and if they get it to 10, then you lose. You know, we have seen in the past where basically it's a last man standing match, which is when somebody's down, you count to 10. So depending on WWE's definition, we may see either a, you know, traditional one or, you know, last man standing.
That is correct. Yeah, I always thought that was an interesting thing because you can get the pinfall and there can be multiple pinfalls, but unless you get that 10 count.
Well, with a Texas Death Match, the idea behind it is that you only have typically maybe three counts, you know, three pins. And that's the biggest thing, because the problem with the last man standing match is someone goes down and the ref immediately starts counting. He goes one, two. OK, he's up now, you know, and it's like that's kind of annoying. You know, I want a real match. That's the one I want to see.
Yeah. And here's something that I thought was really interesting that's coming out now is that the WWE is going to have a live special, but it's going to be at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to start at 7:00 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 4th, the 4th of July. So here's my thing with this. Wow, that's early. But would you, since you are in you're in Pacific Standard Time, so it would be 4:00.
4:00.
Are you going to wake up to watch it?
Maybe my son will wake me up, you know, so I might be up. They're doing a special. Yeah, it's going to be very early. Most people aren't going to watch this live. You know, you're going to watch it taped. But they announced some pretty cool things. You know, Kevin Owens is going to be there, Finn Balor, Jericho, Cena, and the big one, which is Brock Lesnar. So I think this will be a pretty big event, and it'll actually test the waters to see if these types of things can work for the WWE Network.
And of course, they're going to have an appearance by Hideo Itami, of course. But yep. And I bet he'll be out during the Owens Finn Balor match. But of course, Everyone knows Finn Balor down there as Prince Devitt, whatever you want to say. I'm wondering if they're going to call him that, and then maybe, well, I guess if you're doing it live, you can't, because I was thinking if they did a tape delay, they can call him that and then have him come out as Finn Balor. But I think a lot of Japanese, they take professional wrestling like sports. They take it like hockey. They take it like football. It's serious there. So I don't know how they're going to, I guess, if they're going to even announce that he was Prince, or if everyone was just going to know that.
But I think people will know that. They'll probably call him Finn Balor, but they may say, you knew him as Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just can't wait for it. It's going to be really cool. But yeah, so let's talk about the fallout from Elimination Chamber. Ryback came out, and he is actually the IC champ. Now, I think when we're talking about this, he was sort of on the radar, but I was very surprised that he ended up winning. But to me, it makes sense.
Yeah, actually, last week's episode, you had mentioned that you think that Ryback was the best one to win it. And I had said, I think that's going to be Sheamus. And then you have Ryback chase him and then win the title from him in like 2 months or so. I think SummerSlam is what I said. And I still think that might have been a better option, but I'm okay with this. Ryback has never held gold in the WWE, and he has worked very hard. And regardless of what you think about him with CM Punk, you know, is he dangerous in the ring? Maybe he is. I don't know. But character wise, they have done a very good job of building him up from what they had originally done with him. And this is the right path to go down if you want to make somebody into that either main eventer or the gatekeeper to the main event. You know, I think like Kane. Kane typically is the type of person who will take on the person who's an upper mid-card guy and will help put him over into the main event. That's something you could do with Ryback if you don't want him to ever hold the title. But regardless of that, that's getting way ahead of myself. Smart move for WWE. Ryback definitely deserved it.
I'm also surprised that Mark Henry, of course, was a surprise entrant, but I thought it was funny that the glass or the glass came off of the door.
The bulletproof glass apparently can be broken so easily.
Well, it wasn't broken. It just came out of the frame. Yeah.
It bends constantly, you know.
Like, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, but I thought the audible was smart because they said that earlier in for the tag match, if you're in there, you can hold someone down like they did with the Lucha Dragons and with Kalisto. And I was like, oh, you know what? That makes sense. So they called the audible, had him come out. And then I thought it was funny because the graphics still had Mark Henry in the thing, but the lights only did the two. But I thought it was, I think it worked out good because they had the thing with Sheamus as well. He put his cross into the door so it couldn't be open. But I think that actually with the whole thing with Henry, I think that helped out. I really believe that helped out. And I think I talked to you, I go, do you think that wasn't done on purpose? Like they did that just like, hey, by the way, stick your cross in the thing. And you're like, no.
No, that was intentional because he got a lot of heel heat for it, which is a smart move, you know. And actually, I mean, the match still went 25 minutes, you know, and it was 4 minutes per pod. So that realistically should have been 16 minutes, but they went even longer than that, which, you know, that's fine. You know, wasn't a bad move. You know, the tag match went, you know, 24 minutes. So, you know, they had some pretty long bouts there, actually.
What did you think about the tag match? Because to me, it seemed like a couple of the spots they had in there, they rushed it real fast. I believe like the Kalisto spot where he climbed on top of the elimination chamber and it was hanging. I thought that they rushed that spot because it looked like he was going to do like a corkscrew.
Yeah. Well, the problem was he got up there and I think that he said, oh, crap, I have to jump down. You know, and I think that's what originally happened was that he was like, I don't know if I can actually do this. Because at one point in time, when he first did his swing back and forth, Cesaro puts his hands up in the air to catch him, you know, which, you're supposed to. You're supposed to catch him and everything. Probably shouldn't have done that necessarily until you actually saw him fall. But, you know, he didn't do it right away. So you just had people sitting there waiting around for you, swinging back and forth to fall. And so the spot, while on paper it looked good, it didn't translate well. Really didn't.
Yeah, that was the sad part. Now the whole thing with Kevin Owens and Cena, match of the night. I'm just gonna say it now. I know I'm a huge Owens mark, but realistically, that was probably one of the best Cena matches I've ever seen because it was so back and forth. The only criticism I had for this particular match was I thought that Owens kicked out of the AA too fast.
Cena did the same thing. Yeah, Owens and Cena, they both. That was one thing actually I had commented to Roger, was a friend of the show, Roger. I had said, you know, he should have waited just a second longer, you know, and especially when you do the big kick out. I hate that. Don't do a big kick out to a finisher. Do a big kick out to their signature move. To their finisher, just barely get your shoulder up. That to me says false finish. I was at the edge of my seat. I thought that was the victory. It wasn't.
Yeah, and this match went on. Yeah, I thought pretty long. I want to say it was at least 22 minutes, and it was good.
Yeah, the match was a 20-minute match, which I think was, you know, what they needed. It showcased Owens in a new light. I think a lot of people saw that and said, wow, maybe this guy's here to stay. You know, maybe this is the guy.
Yeah, and I believe that he showed that he's worth being at the main event. And, of course, you know, with him signing the main event contract, or I'm sorry, the main roster contract, that says something. They're like, wow, look at those sales. It's just like the same thing with Samoa Joe. Hey, he sold a bunch of tickets. Let's offer him a contract, even though as of taping, he hasn't technically signed it. But I don't even think he's going to be at NXT anymore. I believe they're actually going to bring Samoa Joe into the main roster right away. I know there was some heat that supposedly he injured Tyson Kidd, but looks like Kidd's fine now. Mm-hmm. But I'm really happy that, I'm not happy that the fact that they're like, wow, the merch sales were so good that we're going to sign this guy. Okay, that's great. You sold out a bunch of shirts. Same thing with Owens. Yeah, but I think that they Owens and Samoa Joe are very rare. Those two guys can translate over to the main event roster. Even though I guess most people are like, who's the Samoa Joe guy down in Texas? But I have no idea what the schedule is coming up. But when they go to Japan, Samoa Joe better be there. I'm just saying that right now because they know who he is. And then same thing with the Owens. Of course, he's going to be there. But I'm actually excited for this because truthfully, I think what's going to happen is Samoa Joe's going to make a run in for Owens' match against Finn Balor. And it's going to cost Owens the NXT championship. And then that's going to and then you can translate that over into Battleground, which would be good. And of course, friend of the show, Doug Hahn, I think is actually going to that.
Yeah, that's the plan right now for him. But no, that actually might not be a bad idea. You know, just to kind of reiterate what you just said, you have Samoa Joe interfere with that match, cost him the title, and then you can have Owens versus Joe, not at the NXT pay-per-view, but at Battleground, like you said, because that way you can showcase these NXT stars and kind of tease it for they can be on the main roster and they can have a feud there.
Yeah. And by the way, we don't know this yet because it's Superstars has not aired yet, but there's a possibility they may run Samoa Joe Tyson Kidd's match. So maybe there's a small chance that it might be on Superstars, which would be awesome.
No one ever watches Superstars.
I'll admit that I have probably missed like the last 10 episodes, but same thing with main event. Anyway, so let's move on. We're going to get Seth Rollins. Hey, by the way, I've watched everything on the network. I'm just pointing that out. Everything that's new on the network.
So real quick, though, before we break away from Owen Cena, they're having a rematch. They already announced it. What percentage chance do you give Owens to win the rematch?
Oh, he's going to win it. Without a shadow of
doubt. You think Owens is going to win the rematch?
Yep, he is going to win the rematch, and then it's going to be one of those things, because Cena has said before that he wants to make guys. He wants to be like Ric Flair, who he makes guys. What better thing to do is to make Kevin Owens, because he's hot right now. Now, basically the main roster, the people who go to the Raw shows and the SmackDown shows, know who Kevin Owens is. And that's a big deal now, because he's basically been on, what we'll say, with SmackDown, what, 7 shows now, and people
are
like,
I bet you $20 that Cena wins.
How about you bet me my entire WrestleMania?
No, bet you $20. I'll give it to you at WrestleMania 32.
Tell you what, let's just make it simple. I bet you $1 that Owens wins.
Okay, I'll give you 20-1 odds then. I'll bet you 20.
Fine. All right. Well, what are the chances that Dean Ambrose will give Seth Rollins his belt back?
I doubt that there's any chance. What did you think of that, by the way?
I thought that was awesome, especially when I got the screen cap. It took me a long time. Let's just put it this way. It took me 20 minutes to get our artwork for this week.
Because you got the correct one.
I couldn't get it. It's a little blurry. That's the only problem.
Where he's cross-eyed.
And he's like, ah! But the thing is, if I should have capped other ones, because if you slow that part down, there are some images where you'd be like, I don't know if that's appropriate for PGTV if you're thinking inappropriately. You just got to slow it down. Let's just put it that way. But J&J, I'm sorry, you guys. Sometimes they get you at the wrong moment, just like Rollins with a cross-eyed and his mouth wide open. But yeah, I'm I just thought of anyways, let's move on from that. So Dean Ambrose was upset, so he stole the title, and he showed up on Raw with the title as well and wouldn't give it back, and same thing on SmackDown. So champ buys the beers, as him and Roman Reigns says. But I do like the fact that those two guys, they're part of the Shield still, and I like the fact that they're pushing that, because I think it's making both guys look good. I think Reigns is looking great, and I also think that it's helping Dean Ambrose out as well. And also Seth Rollins. So those three guys are big, but like I always thought it'd be interesting if somehow the Shield reunited, but I don't want them to, because I think what's going on right now, it's great. I think that entire storyline, it's great.
And so. I agree. I think that storyline they're doing is really nice. They did a Dusty finish, which is, just a quick history lesson. The term was coined because of Dusty Rhodes. They called it a Dusty finish. And what he would do at house shows is he would have the face get a win over the heel, but it would be in such a dubious or not a dubious way, but it'd be something would have happened where they have to overturn the title. So Ambrose, for example, he beat Rollins. And he pinned him 1-2-3, but the original ref came out and said, well, no, actually, I got hit. So, you know, he wins, but it's by DQ, you know, that sort of thing. And so obviously Rollins gets to keep the title. I thought that it was a smart move. You saw the crowd's reaction. The crowd was very happy to see Ambrose win. So now you know that Ambrose could have the title and it would be okay. I think at Money in the Bank, Rollins does retain, but Ambrose is ready. And Ambrose can have the title and fans will be happy.
And I think that pop that he got too was amazing because no one expected it. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. He won? By the way, I just want to point out the ref that slid into the ring. By the way, that was perfect. You stopped right on a dime to make the three count, which Nick Patrick was famous for doing. The same thing with Lil Nate. And I can't think of the ref's name, but he was really small and thin beard from WCW. He'd always raise his arms up when a guy was in the air and he would...
Yeah, yeah, he passed away from like stomach cancer, didn't he?
Yeah,
like,
and they do a
Madden, benefit. Mark Madden or something.
No,
I don't know.
Not Mark Madden. Not Mark Madden.
That's the name I thought of. But anyway, I know who you're talking about. The one thing that I like about refs, and you know, this is something WWE does very well, is that the whole point, you know, I like kayfabe, all right? And the ref is supposed to sit there and look at the shoulders being down. And so when a ref slides into the ring, they're supposed to be looking at the shoulders to make sure that they're down, and you count 1-2-3. That's some WWE does very well. So, Andy,
and just to let you know, his name is Mark Curtis.
Curtis, that's right. So, Andy, you know, we had Rollins, Ambrose. He takes the title with him. He's taken a lot of things. Apparently, that's going to be part of his character, being a klepto. I think it's a smart move. What do you think?
I hope he steals the pedigree. That would make me laugh. He stole Mick Foley's finishing move. But I think it'd be funnier if he gives Rollins the pedigree at some point. But the thing that I didn't like about this is that it's a ladder match. I wish that it would have been a ladder match / cage match. So then no one can get in.
That makes sense. Because when was the last time we had a cage match where it kept everyone out?
Now that is true. With the top. Maybe have Kane come up from underneath the ring.
Doesn't matter.
But yeah, I guess this will be interesting—a ladder match for the belt. So that means at some point, Ambrose will have to give the title up. But I'm surprised. The one thing I wish they would have done is I wish that he would have taken out Rollins's plates and thrown
that
it to him.
That would have been awesome.
But they did do that. That would have been awesome to see the DA logo in there, and he just goes, "Here you go."
Like, hey, I edited your plates a little. Needed a little rearranging here, you know.
Or if he did, I guess you can't do NWO, but if he did something to the belt so it had Dean Ambrose, or if he gave him like a toy belt or something like that. But
yeah.
Oh, well. By the way, I just want to point something out. I saw something that's probably going to go viral and I didn't really care for it. But some kids, when they're graduating, one guy held up a kid WWE belt and then another kid came over there and then gave him a stunner on the cage. It's on Vine, but I was just like, okay, this is planned, but the kid didn't take it right. So that's my point. If you're not a wrestler, do not try these moves at home, because the kid, he probably didn't get hurt, but it looked bad, as in no timing whatsoever. I bet that you and I could do a stunner. I could take a stunner from you way better than this kid did. Let's just put it that way. Anyways,
and I give stunners all day, every day.
Of course, so. You're like, what? You don't like what I'm saying? Finger, kick, stunner. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't do that stunner. You do the what stunner do you use? I'm forgetting.
I'm doing the TKO, which was Mark Marrow's.
Yes, the TKO stunner is what you're doing. So anyway, so the Money in the Bank participants have been announced, but this is not all of them, as they've said. So who else?
So they announced six, and then on SmackDown they announced the seventh, which was Kane. Just real quick. So I have them up here. The only one. Okay, let's talk three of them, right? The three of them that don't have a chance in winning. We have Ziggler, Neville, Reigns, Orton, Kingston, Sheamus, Kane.
Okay, Kingston's not going to win. Kane's not going to win.
No.
Who else?
There are three people who have a chance to win, which is Reigns, Orton, and Sheamus. And Sheamus is probably not going to win. Orton is probably not going to win. It is Reigns. It is Reigns to win. And that's the thing that I don't like, is because I don't know. I know immediately who's going to win. And look, I like Ziggler. Ziggler shouldn't be in the match. You know, I mean, and Ziggler, I'm okay with him being there. Neville, though, and Kofi, both of which, what have they done? What have they done to be in this match? Isn't this supposed to be for main eventers?
Yeah, but Kofi can do something crazy. So
that's fine. What business does he have being in this match?
Well, that's the thing. He's going to do something crazy.
Isn't he the tag team champion?
He's one of them. And why are they wrestling? They should be wrestling.
They are.
Okay, so they are wrestling.
Yeah, but it's Big E and Xavier. You know, they're doing the Freebird rule, which is fine. But the point I'm making is that Neville has no business being there. I like Neville. But where's Bray Wyatt? Why isn't Bray Wyatt in there?
I think they're going for guys that can do something crazy. So that's why you have Kofi and you have Adrian Neville in there, or Neville, as they're calling him.
Yeah, but still, the point I'm making right now is that it is Roman Reigns to lose. It shouldn't be Roman Reigns to lose. And, you know, of course, we're going to find out here in 2 weeks, but it looks like my prediction is going to be wrong, because I said that Ambrose is going to win Money in the Bank.
You never know. He might be in the match.
He could be.
He might be in the match anyways. Oh, that would be a turn of events if Ambrose wins. Or actually, Roman Reigns wins. Let's just say that. All right. Dean Ambrose just beats the crap out of Seth Rollins so badly that he can't retain, or that he retains, but then Ambrose beats him up. Roman Reigns comes down, cashes in 1, 2, 3. He's your new champion. But my only problem with this is why did Rollins get the title? Because they waited so long for this. He should have it realistically till SummerSlam. As much as I like to do hot shotting of titles when it's proper, this is the one time I believe it's not a proper time, because you have to have Rollins be that guy that everyone's sick of. Kind of like how CM Punk was for a while. They're like, oh, he still has the title. I wish they'd do something like that with him, but it's definitely a wait and see. And, you know, writers, they always surprise us. So I hope they surprise us here.
Yeah, I am. You know, for this, I am a little disappointed that, you know, you don't have Ambrose in there. You know, I understand the storyline they're doing here. Here's my issue. Rollins and Ambrose have had over a year long feud, which has been pretty decent. Ambrose has actually gotten some wins, but they've been giving some of these matches away on Raw and on SmackDown, which I think is dumb. And where's the payoff to it? You know, like, when is the payoff going to be? Is this where we're going to have Ambrose win the title? And you can't tell me that the payoff is going to be at SummerSlam, because, you know, I don't want to pay to see a match that we've seen a million times before. You know, it's not the same as like Punk Cena or, you know, Brian Cena, you know, like when we had that a couple years back. It's not the same. This is a match that we've seen multiple times already. So, I'm happy for this match at Money in the Bank, but move them on to other feuds.
Is this the opening match, or is this the final match?
It's the final match.
It won't be. I can almost guarantee it.
It's the second to last.
It's going to be the opening match.
It will not. I will eat my hat if it's the opening match.
It's been the opening match before, and you're like, why is this opening pay-per-view? It's called Money in the Bank. The point of this
WWE title has never opened a pay-per-view.
No, I'm not saying you open the pay-per-view with that, but I'm saying that for Money in the Bank, you can't have that the opening match. But knowing them, they're probably going to do that. So that's just telling you that Seth Rollins will not retain, or he'll retain, but he'll lose that night.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you were saying. But anyway.
Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed with a free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And make sure you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com. Take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So, TNA versus Ring of Honor on Destination America. So Ring of Honor is actually opening. They are going at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and of course, Impact on Wednesdays as well at 9 to 11. And here's the problem I run into with this, Aaron, is that at 8 p.m. when Ring of Honor is going on, you have NXT and you have Lucha Underground. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of wrestling. It's a long night if you want to watch all the wrestling shows. You know, with just getting just with Ring of Honor versus Impact Wrestling, I think that Destination America is just stating that they're done, because Ring of Honor, when we watch the show, it's the same show that they air on syndication on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday nights. Same show. There's really nothing different. And I haven't watched Ring of Honor in a few weeks, and I didn't even realize they upgraded their lighting rig, which should have said something like, hey, why did they upgrade their lighting rig? And even though it's not like a WWE or TNA lighting rig, it's actually not bad. So I'm wondering how the ratings are going to be, because we haven't heard them yet. I'm hoping the ratings are pretty good for Ring of Honor, and I hope they're pretty good for TNA as well, because I think that if you have a lot of wrestling, you don't have too much wrestling, but you have enough out there, it's going to help everyone involved. But what are your thoughts on two different wrestling programs going on?
So one of the things that you had mentioned, which I think is should really be pointed out, is that this is a replay. The episode that we watched tonight was the same episode that I saw on Saturday. So what, like, I don't get why I even need to see this a second time. You know, I don't watch most wrestling programs twice. I see it once and that's it. I don't need to see it again. And I think this was something where I look and I go, wow, okay, that's cool. I don't need to watch this now. So I think that's a mistake. I think that's a major mistake. I think having two different wrestling programs on the same night for the same channel, I actually think is okay. Because I think that take away what I just said earlier. I am a wrestling fan and I get Destination America. I don't get Ring of Honor, just isn't played in my area. And now I get to watch Ring of Honor. And so I got to see Ring of Honor tonight and I went, oh, that's interesting. I recognize him. He used to be in TNA. This guy also used to be in TNA. And I go, oh, cool. You know, I get to see this guy because I really liked him. I get to see him again. Who's this Briscoe guy? He looks kind of cool. Oh, he's their world champion. What's special about him? And then I find out a little bit more. And then I get to see TNA. And I go, oh, this is very different. It's a lot of different storylines that are going on over here. And then I get to say, oh, okay. So now I have multiple wrestling programs that are on the same night, and I get to watch them concurrently. And I'm okay with that.
Now, did you think it was interesting they still have in their opening sequence, if you watched Ring of Honor before, they still have Daniel Bryan in the opening sequence, which I find interesting.
They had Rhino in there for the longest time. They had Steen in there. Like, they had, yeah, they had the weird, like, I watched the signature and I was like, why do you have Rhino in here? He hasn't been with your program for like 2 years now.
You know, here's the other problem I have actually with them now, is that they signed a deal with New England Sports Network, NESN. And if you have, like, for instance, I have DirecTV, and I get to watch that on Saturdays, I think is what it is. So I get to watch that then, and then I can watch on Destination America. But do you think that it was smart for them to actually be on New England Sports Network, or do you think that this was a mistake? Because not many people have Destination America.
Not many people have it, but if you take a look at TNA's numbers and, you know, including replays, you're looking at 600,000 people. And, you know, the number might go up, honestly, because I think that Wednesday nights is a much better night for wrestling. You know, Wednesday or Thursday night. SmackDown is on Thursday, so you don't want to compete with them. Wednesday night, you have Lucha Underground and NXT. NXT, though, is on the WWE Network that is taped. It is a taped program. It's something that you can watch at any time. I typically watch them like three in a row. You know, that's typically what I do with NXT. And I don't watch them until like Thursday or Friday. So, you know, it's not a big deal for me. I don't think that most people are watching NXT live. Like, I would venture a guess that, you know, of the 1.4 million subscribers, that maybe 200,000 watch it live. I would be wagering to bet that. I would do the over-under on it.
Ooh, I don't know if you're even that high. I was thinking more like maybe 50,000 watch it live. Because, yeah, for instance, I don't watch it live. Because a lot of times when either I'm at the gym or I'm at work still, so I can't. It's not like the first thing I do when I come home is like, hey, you know what? I want to watch, you know, this live when in 30 minutes I can just watch it on demand.
Yeah, and you're right. And you know what? I said 200,000. You know, I was trying to be even generous. I think 50,000, even at that point in time, I might still take the under, but that's probably my cutoff point. Like, if you said 70, I would definitely say under, but like 50 to 70, like I would say that watch that live. So let's just say 50,000 people watch NXT live. Those 50,000, some might say, you know what? I want to see Ring of Honor and I want to see Impact Wrestling. So they might watch that instead. Lucha Underground, while it's interesting, that's also, it's an hour long show. So you could really save that up if you DVR it. Same thing with the Ring of Honor. I mean, like the thing is, you now have, when you think about it, you have an hour for Lucha, an hour for Ring of Honor, an hour for NXT. That's 3 hours. And then you have TNA, which is five. You have 5 hours of wrestling now on Wednesday nights. You know, 2 years ago when we were doing this show, we didn't have any. We didn't have any wrestling on Wednesday nights. Instead, we talked about, you know, Raw going 3 hours, SmackDown being nothing, and then TNA being terrible. You know, now we get to talk about Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and NXT. I mean, we have so much more options now, which is really cool. The problem is, though, now TNA really has to up their game, because if you have Ring of Honor being your competition that's on your same network, you're going to have to do something to make me go, oh, I got to see this also.
Now, here's the other thing I want to mention about the whole deal is that TNA wrestlers didn't know about this deal. In fact, TNA didn't know about this deal as well. Mm-hmm. So I think and what happened was also they had a conference call and wrestlers were not happy about this. They thought that basically that TNA is getting canceled and they're trying to do damage control. And I think Dixie Carter was probably either the wrong person to be on the phone or it was just bad timing, because when this came out, this was big news.
Oh, it was huge news.
And the thing is, I missed it and I talked to you earlier in the day and then I was like, oh, I sent you a message. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, did you see this? Like, yeah. I can't believe that they're going to be on Destination America. I guess to me, this is bad management. Because like TNA, there's a lot of great wrestlers on TNA. I cannot say that there's there's crappy talent on that roster. I believe there's at least 10 solid guys that could go to NXT or even Ring of Honor and just tear it up there. Mm-hmm. I truthfully believe that. Now, if TNA folds, will that happen? Yeah. But also, I think there's guys that are developing that could be something big. I think James Storm actually would be great in the WWE. I don't think that he would be like a number one guy, but I believe that it would be really cool to see him there, especially if he did the beer money thing. But Austin Aries was not happy with Dixie about this. And of course, MVP, I think, said it best. Hey, I'm taking independent bookings. Email here, which I thought was intriguing because, you know, he's in a series right now, best of five, with Bobby Roode and the Wolves. So there's, I don't know. I guess I'm just upset with management. There's no other way to put it.
So, yeah, and I get what you're saying. You know, just to kind of clarify, though, MVP said, yeah, you know, I'm taking bookings. And he said, look, I didn't say that because I'm quitting TNA. I said that because I need to make sure that I have my finances in order. If something happened, and he said, I don't want it to happen, but if something happened, I got to make sure that I have a job, you know, like, and I get it, you know, I totally get it. And yeah, he needs to. So, you know, kudos to him for that. Aries is a little bit of a hothead. You know, he got into trouble last year when Christy Hemme announced somebody else. And then he put his junk in her face, which was just like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, that's sexual harassment. You know, like, as even as silly as it is, that's still sexual harassment. You can't do that. You know, Aries is a bit of a hothead. You know, he's kind of like CM Punk with less size and less pull, you know. And so you can't do something like that. You can't. I understand getting upset. But you got to be smart about it. You know, if you want to go back to Ring of Honor, if you want to try your luck with WWE, that's fine. You know, and you can. And I like Aries. I'm a huge Aries fan. I really am. I hope that he does really great things. I hope TNA stays around. I hope that he stays there because I think he's had his best run has been with TNA.
Yes.
And in my opinion.
Yeah, well, he had a decent run with Ring of Honor, but I think that the run with TNA has been great for him. And here's a weird question that I wanted to ask you. Hypothetically, let's say Austin Aries goes to WWE or NXT. Does he keep his name? See, because Samoa Joe, remember we talked about he has to be Samoa Joe. But see, Austin Aries, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you could give him a different name, like have him called Hank or something like that. I don't know. That's a thing. I almost think you have to call him Double A, you know, or just call him Double A. Don't call him Austin Aries, and then just ask Arn Anderson to borrow the trademark.
Yeah. I think that you have to keep the name, you know, granted. But the thing is with Aries, I also understand that he's not going to go past NXT. And I think he understands that. Yes. That's why you still have Brian Kendrick, who while he was in WWE main roster, and Rhino, same thing. You know, you still had those names. And even Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, who wrestled at NXT, they wrestled under their names. So, you know, I think it would be the same thing with Aries. I think Aries would wrestle with his name.
Oh, dude, just think. All right, I'm just throwing this out a little off topic. Hypothetically, couldn't you start having NXT matches before every WWE pay-per-view, as in have that as the opening to get people pumped?
You could, yeah.
Huh. Maybe we'll see an invasion done properly. But getting back, I'm sorry, sidetracked there. I really think that this could be beneficial for Destination America, and it could be beneficial for TNA, because, you know, they were talking about canceling TNA. I believe that this could make either help TNA or ruin TNA. It's going to be one of those two things.
I think that it's actually going to help, because you have Ring of Honor as your lead in. So most people who are tuning in to Destination America are probably wrestling fans. I doubt that you're going to have like 100,000 people tune in just for Ring of Honor. And of course, when we see the numbers on Friday, I'm sure then we'll find out, and it'll be like Ring of Honor did 300,000, TNA did 400,000, you know, that sort of thing. And then
dude, if that's the numbers, by the way, that is huge, especially for a replayed show. Because what's to say, you know, right now they're running the syndication program. What's to say that they're not going to run the syndication program, we'll say, on the Friday night death slot, as they like to call it, and then they run a taped live show, if you want to say that, on Wednesday nights.
Okay, let me rephrase that then. I'm going to say 200 for Ring of Honor, 400 for TNA.
That's still good for a taped show, a syndicated show. That is big. That is huge.
What do you think it'll be?
The first show, I'm going to say it's going to be like 325.
Ring of Honor?
Yeah, and I think...
You think the first show is going to be 325? Yeah,
and I think Impact...
Yeah, you gave me crap for saying 200.
No, I thought we were talking about NXT live.
No!
Oh, okay.
We're talking TNA Ring of Honor. What are you talking
about? No, I thought you meant when we're... Never mind. Okay.
200, 400.
Okay, I'm going to say that it's going to be 220... I'm going to say 325... I'm talking about both shows. So, like, we're talking about the replay after Impact. So, I'm saying it's going to be 325 for the one, and then I think it's going to be about 500 for the other, for Impact. That's what I believe they'll get for the numbers. But okay. I think that slowly but sure, but if you're getting, let's hypothetically say, just for Ring of Honor, you're getting 325 for a tape show, where Destination America pays a fee just to broadcast that show. That is huge for them, because that's going to make money. For them, because if they're only having to pay $100,000, we'll say they're paying $25,000 per show. If they can sell advertisements of $50,000 during that time slot, for both time slots, that's huge for them. That's huge money. That's doubling their money. Even if they just break even. But I think that here's what I think's going on at Destination America right now, or Discovery. I believe that there's like one big wrestling fan, and he's like, let's bring him in.
Absolutely.
And I think, and then he's like, wait a minute, so we only have to pay X amount for Ring of Honor? Can you guys keep your mouth shut? By the way, we'll pay a little bit for your lighting rig and this. And we're going to let you guys know this, but only what, three people knew in Ring of Honor about it, and they kept their mouth shut, by the way. Let's give them credit there. Kept their mouth shut on this. So it's going to be, I'm excited for all this. I can't wait to see what the rating numbers are. I think this is going to be one of the few times we actually talk rating numbers next week.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm really hopeful for this. I really, really hope that TNA does very well. I hope that Ring of Honor does well enough that it will justify why Destination America picked them up. But I hope that they don't do it. I hope Ring of Honor doesn't do well enough to replace TNA.
Yeah, I agree. And I also want to throw one thing out. Now, that, you know, we'll just move on for one more thing. GFW, Jeff Jarrett did some interviews recently, and I think he's hinting towards on-demand, as in it's going to be either, it's going to be taped, but I think he's going to do more of an on-demand type style. And And also, just to let you know, GFW, I think they're running their live shows next week. They run their house shows. So it'll be interesting. Mm. Oh, and I thought it was interesting that Dixie Carter told Tyrus he can't be there anymore.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's kind of messed up. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.